Welcome back to the Nerdament Podcast. My name is Hayden. I'm here, as per usual, with...
Aaron.
And we have a special guest, or we have two special guests today. Should you guys introduce yourself and tell you a little bit about your show, for those of you who don't know.
Okay, so I'm Brenton. I'm one of the hosts of the BXG Podcast. We are a pop and nerd culture podcast. We talk a lot about movies, a little bit about games, books, TV shows. We're really, right now, our biggest goal is getting 200 Apple reviews so that we can be Rotten Tomatoes, whatever it's called, Tomato Critics or whatever. So that's the thing we're working on. We put out a lot of movie reviews lately on both our podcasts.
How many do y'all have?
And on our YouTube channel, yeah.
How many do y'all have currently?
What's that?
How many reviews do y'all have now?
I don't want to talk about it.
I mean,
I'm
be leaving review well, after this.
How many movie reviews we have? Not how many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, yeah.
Yeah. How many movie reviews? I mean, we've been doing reviews now. It's been a regular part of our show for about a year and a half. So.
That's pretty good. A lot then. A lot.
Yeah, we've done a lot of movies. Yeah.
I know we were
Check
talking
out the Nick Cage review for the Unbearable Weightness of Talent. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that'll be coming up.
I do remember, like I said before we started recording, I did listen to y'all's show yesterday, and I have a problem with something that was said about Adam Driver. Adam Driver is an amazing actor, okay?
You're right. Okay.
He's an amazing actor.
This guy.
What's the problem with Adam Driver?
I mean, it's John Krasinski is great.
Yeah, John Krasinski is a great actor, I will say. He's great.
So, it actually comes from another show that we've guested on, which is actually a Texas-based, tournament-based podcast. So that's like
coincidence.
Yeah. And one of their shows, it just devolved into who was a better actor. And I knew that Greg would say Adam Driver, and I just wanted to poke the bear a little bit. So, that's kind of what that was about.
I mean, like we say, John Krasinski is a good actor. So, I mean, I'm not mad about that, but...
Oh, yeah.
Adam Driver... Okay.
Love some Adam Driver.
Anyways. Sorry to interrupt.
Adam Driver made girls watchable after the second season. That's all I have to say. That's all, like, you watch Adam Driver do his thing. That's all I have to really go about.
That's all you need.
He's great.
That's all you need.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fair. So on Nerdament, for those of you who don't know, what we normally do is we have these tournament boards behind us. There are 128 characters out there. There are currently actually now 64 that are still quote unquote alive in this tournament. They're all from Star Wars this season. Our first season was Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and Image comic book characters.
Yes.
And we ended up whittling it all the way down from 128 down to Black Panther. Taking home the dub in that one. But here, for this episode, a one-off kind of episode. So we asked you guys to bring a character that you guys liked. And clearly you like this character because it's your background right now. So you guys brought y'all's character and we have... somebody we thought would match up decently well. So, you guys wouldn't mind kicking us off here. Say as much as you want or as little as you want, but go ahead.
I will say, this is a movie that Brenton introduced me to, circa 2002. Right, Brenton? 2002, 2003. Brenton and I met about 20 years ago. We hit it off immediately for other reasons beyond this. Just our love of... you know, basketball, things like that. And then Brenton had me over and he's like, we got to watch this movie. I was in love literally 20 seconds in with the opening credit scene with the blood and everything. And then it ends up being a dish. And then Patrick Bateman just, you know, happens to be one of the greatest characters ever in a movie. And this turns out to be, you know, Brenton and I have talked about this before, but this is one of the few things that we 100% agree on, that this movie is great. We both love it. We both rewatched it quite a bit. We quote it a lot, and this character is just so funny and so raw. raunchy yet sophisticated. So all these like great things, and this is why we picked him.
Okay.
Yeah, so our character is Patrick Bateman from the movie and the novel American Psycho. I have the novel right here with me.
Nice.
It was published in 1991. So the book's pretty old. It took a lot of effort to get this movie made because the book is very graphic in a lot of different ways.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Sure.
Is this one of those serial killers from pop culture that's based off of a real character or a real human being? Sorry.
Ed Gein,
it's based off of mostly Ed Gein.
Just like every other serial killer.
So the book and the movie are different in a lot of ways. The movie is labeled a horror movie, which I always have a problem with. But the book is more of a satire of like 80s kind of yuppie New York City culture. And just kind of this guy who, like, the most important things to him in life are, you know, how cool is your business card and like what pair of glasses do you have on? He's very vain. He's very shallow in that way. But in like when his quote unquote mask of sanity slips, he's, you know, killing hookers with a chainsaw. So there's that sort of like, you know, the dichotomy there. But also, as Greg said, the movie in itself is almost infinitely quotable, which is weird for a so-called slasher movie.
It was a bit weird.
I will say that Brenton doesn't think this is a horror movie because Brenton is a bitch when it comes to horror movies. So if this was a horror movie, he couldn't watch it.
That's true. I just don't think that it's... I just don't define it as a horror movie. It's not scary.
No, it isn't. You're right, Brenton. I'm just saying that's
exactly... I fully take accountability. I'm a huge bitch. Scary movies. So.
Yeah, I don't like scary movies very much. He watches them
every now
all the time.
Every now and then, you just gotta get scared. But yeah. But yeah, I didn't feel like there was any moment that was meant to be scary in American Psycho.
Yeah,
I felt like all of it was like packed with nuance of like society.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that is, they do a good job of displaying that in the movie. I just think that people don't necessarily understand it. That's why we got that weird sequel that doesn't make any sense, because there's no American Psycho 2 book. It's, you know, there's like shared characters within the author's quote-unquote universe, but I think that showed just how much people don't actually understand this movie, that they made a sequel that is like a down and out slasher movie. I've heard it's horrible. I've never seen it.
I didn't even know it existed.
I would never see it. No.
Just ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Should I go ahead and introduce ours?
Yes, do it.
I will say before when we decided this, it was not based off of the movie and how good the movie is.
In fact, we picked basically the exact opposite.
Yeah, this is a terrible movie. It's more of a comedy than a horror movie in our eyes. But we thought that the matchup physically and psychologically, because obviously Mr. Bateman here is very bright guy.
Yes, he's when I think about the matchup here, one, there's going to be nuance to this because this guy's in a lot of movies.
Yes.
But two, I basically thought of it as if Bateman's the brains, this guy's the bronze.
All right.
Okay.
So we brought to the table Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th movies.
Okay.
Given that we're only doing part two and part three. Not like zombie Jason that's like unkillable or killed a sleep demon or turned into a cyborg murderer by the government.
Yeah.
Just the living Jason. Basically, for this, me and Hayden have only watched like one and a half of these movies.
We couldn't take it.
It was. It doesn't hold up, really.
No.
Yeah,
it was the effects are pretty bad.
Yeah,
and it's just like we're 23 and 20, so we couldn't couldn't put up with it anymore. Like Star Wars is one thing, but this is
completely different.
Completely different.
So, for Jason, he was born with several deformities and a large head and mental disabilities, and hydrocephalus, which caused his head to become large. And he learned to depend on his mother. He went to camp with his mother, where she worked. He went to the camp where she worked. And the campers, because they're children, bullied him relentlessly and eventually forced him to fall into the lake. And it was presumed that he drowned, causing his mom to have the camp shut down and then constantly sabotage the camp for years to get it to not come back up again. Eventually the camp did come up again. His mom murdered several people and then got decapitated. Which, when I first thought...
Usually
when
it happens.
Yeah.
Normal yeah. stuff. Yeah. Normal stuff.
When I first saw that, like, I wasn't paying too close of attention, but I thought the main character, Alice Hardy, I thought she cut her head off with a boat oar. Because I looked up one second, she was fighting boar to machete, and then next second, she's cutting Pamela's head off. I thought it was an oar. And it didn't even surprise me at that point.
Yeah. Up to that point, some weird stuff had happened in that movie, so it wasn't entirely unbelievable.
Jason, however, did survive, swim to shore, and then learned to live in the wilderness in a shack. He later found his mom's body and then built a makeshift altar to her, and kept that, and then started avenging, went out to avenge her, killing Alice Hardy with an ice pick, and then started just... Somewhere along the lines, I don't know the motivation here. He just started trying to murder everybody.
Mm.
As you do.
Yeah, because he one second you're just living in the woods. Living in the woods, killing small animals, and just living, worshiping your mom. Then you kill one person, and then you kill everybody.
Yeah.
And then four movies later that are not included in this version that I'm talking about, you kill all of Manhattan, apparently.
Okay.
General
progression. This is normal progression for any human being.
Yes.
Okay.
His killing sprees went on for a long time, leading to him getting kind of pushed away. A couple people escaped him. At one point, he was knocked out and revived, and then he went on a massive killing spree during the summer, until a young boy who was 12 years old when this happened, keep that in mind, young boy named Tommy, disguised himself as a young Jason to distract him long enough to hit his head with a machete. And then when Jason tried to get up, repeatedly hacked him until he died. So Jason... uses a plethora of weapons. He's very creative with this. This includes choking somebody with barbed wire, killing somebody with a tree. At one point, he prints Oberyn to somebody, like the mountain did to Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did that.
Crushing before. Crushes their head.
Yeah, he crushed somebody's head.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he has a ridiculous amount of strength. The down part of that is he's not as intelligent.
You don't say.
I think my most important question is, what does his business card look like? I need to know what his business card looks like. Does he have a watermark? I mean, that's important. That is very important.
I mean, he's not a fan of water.
No, he does have hydrophobia due to the event of almost drowning.
He probably wouldn't understand that a watermark and water... marks are different, so I'm gonna say no on the watermark.
I don't think he went to business school.
You gotta have a watermark if you want a fancy business card.
Yeah,
it may just be blood.
Yeah,
that's his.
It may just be blood.
And a piece of human skin.
Yeah, maybe a leaf that has a ton of blood on it.
The color of the card may not be bone; it may actually be bone.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
That may be the actual.
I would not put that past this man.
No,
if he were to have a business card.
No, not at all.
All
right. I think the thing with Jason is he reminds me a lot of Michael Myers. He's not exactly quick on his feet. You know, he doesn't have great foot speed. Michael Myers is like 6'4" and 240 pounds.
He could
be a power forward in the NBA. But
defensive end? Like this year?
Old DN?
End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you write down how big Jason was?
6'5", I think 270.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bigger fella. Like, he's a girthy lad.
Mm.
But he just doesn't have the foot speed.
Mm-mm. No. You know?
Does he throw things? Does he ever throw? Like, is he that accurate?
Okay, so did he decapitate this person?
No, he just embedded it into their skull.
Yeah, he threw a machete.
Right.
And with the force of 1,000 winds and, like, embedded it in this person. It was the person in the wheelchair, right?
Mark Jarvis was his
Mark. Name. Yeah, he embedded it in his head with the machete.
And then it showed him fall down several staircases because that movie is extra. Then shortly after that, he grabbed a blunt spear decoration and impaled two people to a bed.
Threw a bed into the floor.
Into the floor, yeah.
Huh.
He has...
What are his... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
What are his chances of getting a reservation at Dorsia? I really need to know how he's going to get a reservation at Dorsia.
He wouldn't. He doesn't have a phone, so he wouldn't call ahead. He would show up trying to get a table day of, and be turned away.
So did Bateman.
Yeah, but he would be turned away because he's covered in blood.
Yeah,
and he looks the way he does.
I would imagine.
Now, would he go in before it opens? Is he one of those guys? Like, I'm trying to get
is he
in,
is
like,
he an open?
Yeah, you know.
I think he walks in during rush hour.
It's right,
yeah, that's exactly
right when everybody's like there.
Rush hour. Yeah,
doesn't say a word.
Just like stands at the clerk desk until they like acknowledge him,
and it doesn't say a single
like
word.
Yeah,
this sounds like a really good comedy sketch. Actually, like Jason Voorhees tries to get a reservation. <in class.
laughs> It is. You know who could play Jason if he was on SNL? Adam Driver.
Adam yes. Driver is big.
He's
like
a
him.
Big guy, so
he's not,
I mean,
not that tall, is
I don't,
he?
I don't think he's 6'5", 275.
But they did that with they made the guy who played Reacher look.
Yeah, that's
6'5".
True. Have you, by the way, have you guys seen Reacher on Amazon?
I've seen ads for it. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
And it is a thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was more true to the books than Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't there a Tom Cruise movie?
There were two. There were two Tom Cruise movies.
What do you guys think about Tom Cruise?
It depends. What character is he playing?
Anything 80s Tom Cruise is money.
Yeah, that's fine. Like,
yeah.
Top Gun,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
I'll take Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible is okay. Iron Man's a no. I think the casting of Iron Man was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, they nailed that. That would have been so different. I 100% agree on that.
It would have been a disaster.
If the creator of the character said that Robert Downey Jr. is exactly who he would have envisioned playing Iron Man, then they did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think after Top Gun that Tom Cruise might be the most overrated actor of all time.
Whoa. The most
Brent,
overrated
the most,
actor?
We'll make this a Tom Cruise podcast, but Risky Business.
That was in the 80s. I'm fine with his 80s work.
You're fine with the 80s? Oh,
yeah, it's the 30 years since.
You don't like
okay.
You don't like the like off-brand Jason Bourne?
No. I mean, I like MI1. MI1's really good.
I mean, yeah, it is. I think it's probably the best one. They maybe went a bit too far after that.
Magnolia's really good.
Isn't that with the frogs? Wow.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
That's weird, man.
You guys are young, so you gotta see Magnolia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll just put it on the
list.
It's
a long movie.
Okay.
How long? How long are we talking?
3.5 hours.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
To reiterate, I am a huge comic book fan, and 23, and I fell asleep during Batman.
The new one?
Yes.
I was very enthused by Batman.
That was too long for
me.
Yeah.
This, the sadness that has enroped me now.
I know, I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud of it. And I fell asleep right after the interrogation scene, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like on heroin or something? I mean,
I don't know. I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not happy, but it's not like it's the last time I'm going to watch that movie.
Sure.
You know?
April 18th, it's on HBO Max.
I know. That was an accident, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that long. I can wait.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch it as a miniseries. That's how I took the
That's a good point.
Cut.
That's true.
Yeah, the Snyder Cut was ridiculously long, too.
Way too. It was like 4 hours, wasn't it?
4 hours. Yeah, four.
Lord.
Yep.
Well, I mean, he did the same thing with Watchmen.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, it was what, three?
The director's cut.
Oh, I never saw the director's cut. No.
Bro, it's like almost 5 hours long.
That's unnecessary.
That's ridiculous.
It's like might as well just read the entire series.
Yeah, you would have more time if you just read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But
so if like okay, so we're doing a head-to-head.
Okay.
Are they actually? This is my thing. Are they going to go against each other, or are we saying they have like people that they need to go after, and who's going to be more successful? I guess that's one thing I need to clarify with.
Typically, the way we go at it is it's 1v1.
Yeah.
So Bateman's trying to kill Jason. Okay. Jason's trying to kill Bateman.
But the way that you described it, where they have to kill the same person and who gets there first, that's pretty interesting,
that is
too.
An interesting idea.
Because, like you were talking about, like,
Patrick Bateman's going to have an advantage with street women. Women of the night.
Yeah.
You know.
But
I respect sex workers. You're doing your job. That's fine.
Yes, that's you.
Yeah. You do you, and then Patrick Bateman's going to kill you.
Yeah.
Because you're dirtying up the streets of New York.
I don't know. Would Jason
do something about that?
Would Jason want to kill one of them? Because
Jason just likes... Does he just kills like people killing? Randomly. Eventually, he just starts killing people randomly.
Hmm.
So if he just comes across somebody, then he'll just stalk them and kill them. He's more kind of haphazard about it.
Mm.
Unless it's at that camp. I would say on the killer advantage, like, the actual wanting to kill someone, like, Patrick Bateman's very much, like, focused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just trying to clean up the streets. Or get people out of his,
Are you
like,
mistaking him with another role that he played?
No. Like, he's trying to clean up the streets of New York with, like, homeless people and hookers.
He kills a kid in the zoo!
No, but I'm saying, like, also that kid had it coming. So, the kid was in his way, and Patrick Bay was going to, he's at the zoo, he's trying to enjoy his time at the zoo.
He was trying to kill zoo animals. With cool.
Right. And the kid was in his way.
Is this the
and
book?
The kid was
I didn't
want
this. This is in the book.
Oh, it's in the book.
Yeah,
it's in the book.
Okay. I got really confused.
So I have to kill this kid to actually do what I want to do.
That sounds a bit like Jason,
well,
actually.
I don't know.
Is it?
I mean,
I'm just trying to walk to my home. This person came
Jason
across me.
Yeah, so.
They're going to die.
I don't know.
The big thing with the big thing against Patrick Bateman, I feel like, is going on is he is very intelligent. He's very good at distracting his the people he's trying to kill, like continuously talking like he does with Paul Allen. He keeps talking like everything's normal. And keeps like the vibe. He keeps the facade going. And, like, he talks
he's
at one point like
the music. I mean, he's gonna set the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, he's gonna tell you about everything. Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Genesis. You know, things like that are moving and grooving.
Like at one point, he mentions like there is no Patrick Bateman, and he keeps that going right up until he kills them. The big problem is Jason doesn't get distracted. The only way he can get distracted is if somebody clearly knows about his history, and he got distracted twice. Somebody dressed up, wore his mother's clothing, and somebody disguised... It was in the second one.
What the heck?
And somebody disguised themselves as him as a child. But outside of that, like, Bateman's talking is not really... Jason, most of the time, just stands there and looks stoic.
Mm.
And then crushes people's heads. So,
I will say the other factor that probably leans against our guy is I don't know that he has any actual confirmed kills because a lot of it just seems to be in his head.
Yeah. There's,
Jason racks up fatalities like he's racking up scores on Candy Crush.
He has a list of things that Jason has killed people with, and it's like that long on the page.
Yeah. I also have all of the victims confirmed in these two movies alone. And it's several lines.
What's Jason Voorhees' skincare routine though? I mean, I think that's
he has none.
All natural.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, he's a zombie, so...
Yeah, it's decomposition.
Decomposition.
Not high on the list of priorities.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's nowhere near... I mean, obviously, Michael has impeccable skincare, because that mask is perfect.
Mm.
until it burns. True. But it's true. He's no Michael.
Yeah, here, no. So. He keeps finding random hockey masks.
Hockey masks that nobody uses anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because he kills them.
Out of the Crystal Lake area. Just like, hey, we don't sell those here.
Yeah. How many? Yeah,
do you think he's buying them or is he stealing them?
He's stealing them. I read it. He's stealing them.
I don't think he got much cash.
He's murdering them and stealing them.
Oh,
God. That's in New York, right? New York? Crystal Lake, New York?
Crystal Lake?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's Crystal Lake.
I can't imagine there's much reason to have a hockey mask if it was, like, Florida.
Yeah. He's also, like, showing up, like, in the summer, too. So, still, why do they have a hockey mask?
Nobody's using hockey. It's the real Crystal Lake's outside Chicago.
What's he doing in Manhattan?
Yeah, did he walk to Manhattan?
When I read it,
hitchhiked.
Well, Manhattan, how the hell did he get into space?
That's true.
I mean, it's probably hitchhiked. The same way Luda and Tyrese did in Fast 9.
They said, like,
it's the only way to do it.
He hijacked a U.S. naval ship and then caused it to sink and then walked on the ocean floor to Manhattan.
Makes sense.
Because he's Jason.
That's a bold move.
He's zombie Jason at that point.
Jesus.
Yikes.
Yeah. Oh.
To be a fly on the wall in that writer's room.
Just think.
Would you also be high in that instance? Or?
Because they had to be on
something. Yeah, they were on something. When they were writing this,
it's like the Sharknado thing. Like it started out as a real thing, and then it was just like, who came up with the stupid idea? Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, what? How ridiculous can we make this movie?
In the story, it's in New Jersey.
Oh, that's okay. Close enough.
Yeah,
Jersey. Yeah, Jersey, New York, same thing.
Yeah, they're the same.
Don't tell them that.
Lesser New York.
Yeah, don't show somebody from New Jersey.
Nobody here listens to from New Jersey because you have to be able to like comprehend things, so we don't have to worry about that.
Jesus.
If you're listening from New Jersey, we love you.
No, Suki would come on. It doesn't matter anyhow. It's just no. Like it's like you get anybody from New Jersey, they're fine. They're just killing people in trunks. That'd actually be the biggest thing. Is just worrying about them killing us. But they'd have to be able to comprehend what we put together.
I can't read it.
Right now, we're one step ahead of a game in New Jersey. We're forming sentences with words. That's weird. They don't know what that is. So, now we're ahead of them.
One step at a time.
Yeah.
Don't have like a large listener base from New Jersey. Because if you do, they're gone.
Most of our listeners are from Germany somehow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm,
funny I don't know how that works out.
It's weird. It's weird like that. But
yeah. But they're very consistent.
They're very consistent.
Yeah. Love them.
Yeah.
Our two guys are actually fairly close together.
Yeah, these guys?
Yeah. Jason and Bateman are closer together than I thought they would be.
I do think, you know, as much as I love Patrick Bateman, if we're going for just pure force of kills and brutality, I think Jason's the winner. When it comes to the cool factor, though, I mean, Pat Bateman's
you can't be cooler. I mean,
unless you're into just people just steadily walking towards you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Other than that, Bateman's like has the much more in depth character.
Yeah,
agreed. Yeah. There's something beneath all that, you know, the facial products,
right? Perfect skin routine.
I mean, he takes care of himself. We don't know if Jason actually takes care of himself. So there's also that. It's like
it would appear. Man,
he lives in a forest.
It appears he does not.
He lives in a forest.
He's going rustic.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. He's just like I'm going for the country vibe.
I think also Patrick Bateman seeing him.
He would already have killed the pig.
No, to find truffles.
Find truffles. Yeah.
Yeah.
That way he wouldn't be killing people. You know, maybe he'd have a job.
If he did find truffles, then he would.
Maybe that's, probably maybe settle that's down. What he just needed. He just needed to find himself a nice little truffle pig, get himself a little inn, and then he would be serving the truffles at Dorsia. And then Patrick Bateman and Jason Voorhees become friends.
Finally show up.
That's a terrible combination.
Oh, Jason, horrible. He's a great guy. It works out in the end.
This sounds like canon.
That is a terrible outcome. And then both becoming best friends.
Killing a bunch of hookers.
They bonded through their mutual love of murder.
Oh, they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
Unstoppable.
I mean, of all of us, I mean, who's not just found that mutual love of truffles and then found someone we can just kill hookers with in New York City in the 80s?
What else is there?
Specifically.
What else is there?
What else is there in life?
There's not much. There's
what
not
else much. Do you need?
Yeah.
That's the end all be all, man. I don't.
Patrick seeing Jason, though, given how he was, like, talking, like, I only feel greed and disgust, he would probably be, like, disgusted by, like, viscerally disgusted by Jason when he first saw him.
Sure.
Because he probably smells terrible. He probably treated him like he treated the homeless man.
Well, he's not wearing a nice suit, number one.
That's
not. You're out with the suit, the haircut's not done. He has not just a slightly better haircut. He has a massive better haircut.
He has, like, no hair.
No tanning.
I can't see Jason as being a suspenders guy. Probably more of a belt man.
Does he wear overalls?
At some point? He wears a jumpsuit, I think.
Jumpsuit.
Okay. I think it's a jumpsuit.
What is it with these guys in jumpsuits? That's what Myers wears, too.
Easy to clean.
Hard to go to the bathroom in a jumpsuit.
They don't need to go to the bathroom.
I'm sure that, you know, Voorhees just shits in his pants.
He don't care.
When they're killing, they don't do anything else. No bodily function. They don't breathe.
He's got, like, some cargo pants and, like, a work jacket. Looks like it, once upon a time, might have been a Carhartt. And, like a worm-ridden black tee underneath. Definitely needs a haircut. He's got, like, a skullet thing going on.
You know?
Sure.
I gotta say, I think he was dressing for function.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
Everything about Jason's for function. Even his muscles compared to, like, Bateman are for function over aesthetic.
Yeah.
There's a picture. You see that picture?
Yeah, he can't. Bateman can't do 1,000 now.
You see that? I found a picture.
Dude, he's actually there in the suit, too.
Of Jason walking. Can you guys see this picture? Holding that kid's hand.
I literally have the same one up on Google Images. Right.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
That bothers me a little bit.
Yeah. But the kid's wearing a suit, too.
Good for the kid.
Maybe he's Patrick Bateman.
It's a young Patrick Bateman.
Maybe he went to the camp.
Something there.
Then he just...
In New Jersey.
And he saw Jason and was just like, oh, I love murder.
What? As a young child?
I mean, the murders and executions, mostly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you like murders and executions?
I heard so everyone in there hates
their job. How, you know, how's he with the women?
Jason?
I have murder.
Jason.
Murder?
Kills. Yeah, just... I think
the most his ratio of men to women that he killed is slightly towards women.
Mm.
Slightly more women.
Yeah. It's rough. That is rough.
Yeah. It's not like full-blown misogyny, but it's like, it's still, you can infer some misogyny from that.
No, I think it's a bit of a, what we call a microaggression.
Exactly. Yes.
I don't know. Micro is the right word for that one.
Maybe it's a macro.
Yeah, that macro aggression sounds more like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who's like Patrick Bateman in, like, mind wise, like somebody who's on the same psychological level or knowledge level.
Someone on the same kind of physical level would probably be like Jack Torrance from The Shining.
Sure. Oh yeah. He loses his grip. He's smart because he's a writer. So you like you have that, but then he does lose his grip.
I mean, Hannibal Lecter is kind of in the same vein a little bit.
Older Hannibal Lecter or younger Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah. Silent. Well, I've never seen. Any older? Of those movies.
Well, if he's older, he was at first younger.
Of the Lamb for
we've had this discussion.
He was a killer the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was at one point a younger human.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, what is it? Red Dragon, well. I think, is
All I'm saying.
We never saw him when he was younger, so.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take older Hannibal.
The TV show with Matt, where Mads Mikkelsen plays Hannibal. I think he's a little bit younger.
That's the same Hannibal?
It's called Hannibal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the same. Oh, okay. I did not know that was the same Hannibal.
We're on the same team. We can't be fighting. You know, stuff. Okay.
Fun fact, the Buffalo Bill Cody house is like, what, Greg, like 50 miles from where I live?
Yeah, like it is.
Isn't it like Oleopolis or something?
I think it's in Oleopolis, yeah.
Have you visited?
No.
Brent's terrified.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Be in the same county. If I can avoid it.
Mm-mm. If I ever come to Pennsylvania again, we'll just go, Brent. And I won't tell you. We'll just be like, let's go for a drive. And so we'll see what happens.
I mean, if you guys want to talk about living close to scary stuff,
we have a demon bridge.
Yeah, you know, we live about 2 miles from the Goatman Bridge. In Denton. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's supposedly haunted by a Goatman. A demon Goatman.
Basically, like
a. Is he a 50-50 split?
It's like a satyr. It is a satyr.
When people talk about it, it's like a satyr or a faun, but like demonic.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's
like Narnia gone wrong.
Yeah, it's like
too big of horns.
What's his name?
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. Yeah.
McAvoy.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's like James McAvoy from Split and Narnia
put together.
With horns.
Is he the faun in Narnia?
Yeah.
Mr. Tumnus? Yeah. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it's hard to, because he was like way younger than what we imagine him now. So it's really, it's kind of hard to pick up on. But yeah, I forget about Narnia all the time.
Same.
Have you seen this half man, half goat person in the flesh?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have or have not seen said goat man.
Or held conversation.
Or held conversation with said goat man.
Have you discussed the risks of methamphetamine? The primary care physician.
That's a good question. Yeah.
I can neither confirm. Yeah, no.
It took a lot too. We can't ask that.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Yeah. Jeez.
My bad.
Come on.
My bad.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
I apologize. I spoke out of turn.
Anyways.
So, I think the pros for Patrick Bateman, we're going to get a good dinner. You know, even if we're going to get killed, we're listening to some pretty good music. I mean, Patrick Bateman has great taste in music. He's athletic. He's athletic. You know, so he'll jump rope in front of us a little bit. He'll put papers down to cover up the blood. He plans ahead.
Courteous.
You know, if it's, you know, someone may think it's for a chow or something. But,
you put your body in a nice overnight bag. Jump on
it. Yeah, beautiful overnight bag, you know.
Yes.
He'll have that. Good, you know, just has good, like, service. You know, the limousine service is great. You're going to get to and fro each place very nicely.
Well, you're going to get two. You might not get.
Yeah, you're not. I don't think you're going fro.
We'll get fro death.
The limousine driver also just doesn't ask questions.
Which I respect. If I were a serial killer, you tip that guy extra 50. You know, just to not say anything. That window's down the entire time, the little blackout window. Don't ask questions. We'll get home just fine and dandy.
I mean,
if I were a serial killer,
I will say, being murdered by Patrick Bateman would be more fun.
Be sexier.
All right, he's gonna wine and dine us, right?
Yeah,
you entertainment.
Die on a full stomach.
You know, you're not gonna die hungry. If you get murdered by Jason, it's gonna be quick. It's gonna be over like that. You can't enjoy it. You know, you're running for your life. You're scared. You get a machete thrown at you. I mean, it's no fun. You know.
There's no pomp and circumstance there.
No.
On the bright side, you're not as afraid you may not be as afraid with Jason because he likes it quick. Things to get
happens.
It over.
Just happens. Yeah. At least none of that small talk business.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're those people that he stabbed with the spear, you're having a good time when that happens. True. So
yeah,
it's like a roll of the dice. I mean, it depends what you're doing.
He's not consistent enough.
You're not consistent. I need some consistency when you try to murder me.
I think for this is just, what do you prefer? Do you like to be wine and dine? Do you just like to just, you know, if you like to be wine, I like to be wine and dine. I'm a wine and die guy. If wine and dine and die, you know, that's how I would look at wine, mm-hmm. and, wine dine and die.
Wine and die.
Wine
yeah.
and die. So, wine like, I have a nice night out, you know, we're listening to a little Genesis. I get a little description about the album. It's a nice stereo setup. I may have some little ice cream. I got to put it on a coaster.
Yeah, of course.
So about that,
we're not,
you know,
we're you're not an like animal. Uncivilized here.
Yeah, you're not an animal.
You know, exactly. I'm not an animal. But remember, nice. I'm going to go out with a smile on my face.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Jason Voorhees. You know, I'm out in the wilderness, and if you love the woods, I respect it.
Mm.
I respect the woods. I'm scared of the woods. I'm scared of it. You don't know what's coming.
The goat man.
The goat man.
Yeah.
So,
be a goat man.
It all,
any
it all
grim fairy tale.
Yeah. How do you want to go out? Also, where do you want to live? Like, you know, for a hustle and bustle of the city.
Or New Jersey.
Quaintness. Yeah, the quaintness of the woods. There's all these little things that factor in. I mean, it's scary in both ways. It's scary in both ways.
Yeah.
But I like a fine dinner. I mean, if I have a nice, you know, if I'm going out on a nice red, nice, you know, a little steak.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to go out. Like you said, you're going home full.
Well, you're not.
You're our Lord and Savior full.
Hmm.
Yeah. You like that high life.
Yeah.
You go into a bathtub in Hell's Kitchen.
You get to decompose in a nice bath.
Yeah. Of what's acid. In the bath? Acid, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's personal preference.
It's a personal preference. Yeah. We all have our little things in life that we prefer. I like wine and dine. Some people might just like a little forage. You're looking for mushrooms. The next thing you know, you're hacked. But you were searching for mushrooms, which is fine.
Yeah, maybe
you found a little psychedelic mushroom.
Yeah,
doing okay. Yeah. You get hacked. Who knows?
You're going on a nice hike.
Oh,
you die doing nice what you hike. Love.
Have you seen Vacation with Friends? With John Cena and
no.
Okay.
Right now, I have not.
There,
I can't look at the man.
This is completely. I know he's hard to see. This is completely out of pocket here. And completely different, but there is a scene in there where they find some mushrooms in the forest while they're like on a fox hunt, and they take the mushrooms and they're just like high roaming through the forest. I'm trying to think what that would be like if Jason showed up while you were high, not to kill John Cena. Cause I don't know if he could kill John Cena. Can't see him.
Yeah, no,
no, he can't.
It's hard to kill. Right. But
can't kill what you can't see.
Can't kill what you can't see. Also,
you might just hit the metal helmet.
Yeah, he's Peacemaker as well. So you got that whole other kind of worms to open up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just trying to think of what that would be like to be.
You may not believe it's happening.
Yeah, that's true.
I almost feel this is a draw. I don't know if it ends that way.
Yeah,
anyway, it's not the first time.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we've had to flip.
Before.
If you have to flip a coin, you know, I hope it's a Kennedy coin. One is just the normal head, the other one's his half head blown off. That's how I prefer my Kennedy coin. But, you know, teach their own.
Oh, okay.
Have you been
down to Dallas, like where that happened and stuff?
Yeah, I lived in Texas.
All right. Yeah, they're like the X on the road and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, I drive past that when we go to church.
Okay. Yeah. I drive past there a lot. I like to make jokes about things like that. But the one thing I'll say that maybe, and this is weird because I'm now supporting, is that there is a slight bit of compassion with Patrick Bateman. He does let a person go.
His secretary
go. And so there is no Voorhees compassion.
No. Right. Except for his
mother. Indiscriminate.
But she never tried.
That's tough. I would say that's maybe the only flaw is that there is a slight, even if it's 1% of compassion. Now I wouldn't even say they're our God, but there is that where there is a little bit of compassion. Now, that may be a positive or a negative depending on your look. I mean, if this is purely killing or, you know, whatever, then that's a Voorhees pass. If it's purely like a character, that at least rounds out your character.
Yeah.
So there's a different thing there. It's like, is Patrick Bateman more well-rounded? Is that what you want to support? Or do you want to go with someone just like ruthless?
I would say personally, Patrick Bateman's the better character.
Yeah, clearly the better character. Yeah.
Jason's pretty one-sided.
not a deep character.
You don't go watch a Friday the 13th movie to for the plot. You don't watch it for the invigorating character development.
Mm.
Right.
You watch it for a man to kill people. You watch ridiculous deaths.
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of those choice things, you know, what's your kink, basically?
I would say man to man. I would side with Jason.
Yeah.
I think he's more relentless.
Yeah, man, one on one. Go time. Now or never. I think I'm going to go to Jason just because.
He's a little more experienced, too.
I don't feel like he feels pain.
It's true.
You know? Like, there's very little you can do to stop the man. Like you said, he walked on the bottom of the ocean.
That was a zombie.
Yeah, that's the future. That's what he's looking forward to.
Yeah.
You know, that's the character development that we need.
Yeah, there it is.
Right. Zombie.
I think all this has to do with what record Patrick Bateman plays and how Jason Voorhees reacts.
I don't know if this man's ever listened to a song.
You know, it's just like if Jason Voorhees grooving to Huey Lewis in the News, there's a free shot. That's a shot. He's grooving. He likes it. You know, it is what it is for him. But like, if he's not, then Voorhees is just going to be pissed off. Mm. I don't want to hear this stuff. And he's just going straight for the kill. So it depends on that too. Now, both characters of the 80s, you know, there's a lot to do. I think that Voorhees, like you said, not vibing with the music.
Right.
He's like, what is this mess? Get this out of my life. You know, I'm gonna go for the hacking.
I do appreciate the visual of him vibing to the music though.
Just holding the machete.
Yeah, with
down that you would lose the news. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the machete. Cool. He's just swaying. You know, he's feeling himself.
Yeah.
So there's a good question though. It's the signature weapon. He's got the machete, but Bateman's got the axe that he
beautiful hits, axe
hits Paul. Paul
he probably got from Bloomingdale's or something. You know.
Like, yeah, right? It's a fancy nice one. It's yeah,
that axe was really shiny though.
Yes, it was. Yes,
he's got to see flash. His reflection in it. He works really hard in that face.
Yeah.
He also doesn't take any hits to the face. It bothers him a lot.
No, don't hit him in the face.
Yeah, anything but the face. Now, Jason kills, like, with everything available, but he does carry the machete around consistently.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Anything around, he's going with. So we got Patrick with chainsaw, Patrick with an axe. You know, that's a big thing. He has a drill. He does other things.
I thought it's a nail gun.
In the book, he does a drill too.
Yeah.
Nail gun, drill.
The knife.
Yeah.
One point.
He's maybe a little bit more versatile than I gave him credit for.
Yeah. He keeps things around. He doesn't necessarily go searching for things.
Right.
Voorhees is like, I got a tree limb. I'm
Yeah, no, I'm just going
to
take this
tree. He's ready to go with
tree.
The tree limb if he has to.
Yeah, he did kill somebody with a tree.
Yeah, that was the third weapon that he showed up with.
Yeah.
He also did, like, apparently he's a really good shot because he shot someone in the eye with a spear gun at one point.
There's something to say about that. Patrick Bateman did drop a chainsaw from five stories.
He did it, what Daredevil did.
Really?
With the fire hydrant. With the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Small man.
It's small good timing. This doesn't count.
Is there a world where Jason Voorhees just decided to groom himself up?
I think that's the same world where he hunts for mushrooms.
Multiverse.
Jason Voorhees multiverse. Anything is possible.
Is there a universe where Patrick Bateman lives in the forest and just kind of goes like out to find random small animals?
I mean, if the multiverse theory is true, it's an infinite amount of possibilities.
True.
There's a theory.
Them, he would always wear a suit, I feel like, though.
In the forest?
Even in the forest.
In the forest, yeah. He's wearing a suit.
Yeah, he's
wearing a Zegna suit. At the very least, a Zegna. At the very least.
It's true.
I don't know. This is tough. I think the ruthlessness probably puts Jason a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. If we're going purely on killing and not the character, if we're going on character, obviously Patrick Bane's a better, well-rounded character, but if we're based purely on mano-a-mano, I mean, there's a point where, like, Patrick Bateman cries a little bit to Whitney Houston, and that's where Jason Voorhees goes for the kill.
I think you're right.
I mean, this is probably a first here, but I'm going to say that nobody has ever had this argument before to see who would win between these two guys. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Our first time for everything. But yeah, it was surprisingly good. You nailed it. Congratulations. You guys nailed it. Obviously you love the movie. So
yeah.
And the book.
Watch it right now.
Oh, no.
I think it's on Netflix.
Is it?
Where'd you watch it at?
Yeah,
HBO.
He watched it on HBO, so I don't know.
Oh, was it on HBO?
Yeah. That's where I saw it.
Yeah.
No tone.
I mean, I have the DVD, but I don't have anything that plays DVDs anymore.
Anything?
So. You have your PS4 button?
Yeah, I have a PS4, but I don't. It's not hooked up.
Okay.
I thought I was going to feel old. Well, I don't got anything else to say, which doesn't happen very often.
Okay.
You have anything else?
Not really, no.
You have anything else that you would like to say about maybe a podcast? Throw it out there where we can listen to it.
Yeah, we publish Fridays and Mondays. Fridays is usually the review heavy episode at 9 a.m. Eastern. Mondays is usually like a one-off topic. This past week we did What Makes a Great Film. The week before we did Fixing the Oscars. There's been some other things. Rotten Tomatoes, Joe Rogan, we did a segment on. Some stuff like that. We do lists on Mondays as well. We do like recent ones have been top 10 movie villains, top 10 movie sidekicks, that sort of thing. So, yeah, just check us out.
Top 10 movie. Who is the number one movie villain?
Well, we each do our own lists.
Okay.
And I think we both had Joker.
I had Darth Vader. You had Joker.
You had, yeah.
I had Darth Vader.
Our ones and twos were swapped.
Our ones and twos were
Joker
swapped.
Number one, Vader number two.
Do you have Heath Ledger Joker, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, not what's his name? Jared Leto's.
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Yeah. Nor Joaquin Phoenix's.
I haven't seen that yet.
Really?
The other thing is that movie's technically he's the protagonist, so he couldn't be the villain.
It's a bit.
In that
vibe, it's kind of like a. It's kind of it's like Patrick anti-hero. Bateman being the protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's on my list. It's one big hole in my library of films to watch, but I just for whatever reason haven't gotten around to it.
Because
we watch a lot of bangers like what was that, the Home Alone movie this year?
The ninth Home Alone movie? I don't even remember what it's called now.
Yeah, I think it was Home Sweet Home Alone.
The what?
Yeah, that was bad. That's Home it, Sweet. Home Sweet Home Alone.
Yeah.
That was bad.
It's a Disney Plus movie. It's terrible.
Oh. I mean, I used to love Speaking of Disney Plus movies, I used to love Cheaper by the Dozen, and they just came out with a new one.
Oh, that's right, there's a new one.
Yeah, my fiance watched it this last weekend. She said it was terrible. Yeah. So, for those of you wondering at home, I don't know if it's up to you, but just saying, I don't know about that.
Yeah, some of those, like, straight to stream service movies aren't the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like the new version of the straight to VHS or straight to DVD.
Straight to TV.
Yeah.
Disney Channel movies.
Yeah, although we watched, for this week we're reviewing Kimmy. I won't give too much, but I actually kind of liked it. It's on HBO.
What was it?
Kimmy. It's Zoe Kravitz is the star.
I saw that on HBO.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. It's a straight HBO Max thing. Have you watched it yet, Greg?
No, I'm going to watch tonight.
Oh, did you forget?
No. I have my plans. Tuesday is my night to watch things.
Yeah.
Wow, how about Zoe Kravitz, man?
Yeah, it's
fast. You can't go wrong with Zoe Kravitz.
It's like only an hour and a half long. It's like watching a Disney movie for length.
Yeah, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Critical or fan?
I don't know. It just said Rotten Tomatoes. The IMDb was 6.3. So
yeah. IMDb is usually kind of low on things.
Yeah, I mean, there was a classic example of the Eternals rating. The audience score is 53%.
The critics was 91.
For Eternals on IMDb or on Rotten Tomatoes.
Where was both it? It was both, wasn't it? Both that they crashed the
Yeah, for Kimmy the audience score is 53.
Yeah.
Tomato meter is 91.
Which doesn't happen often.
It happens more than you think. That was part of our segment that one.
Really?
That there's a lot of movies that the biggest, like the worst one that I saw was probably The Last Jedi, because the critics were real high on it and the audience was very low on it. Like the audience was in like the 40s and then the critics were like low 90s.
I'm gonna be honest. That's probably in that 40 down there. Not my favorite. I'm
probably up in the 90s.
Don't get me started on The Last Jedi. That's another hour of
fun. He loves it. Yeah.
I loved it. I'm very avid about all of them. I'm very willing to defend. But if you don't like it, then that's fine.
being that like OG trilogy guy, I've kind of thought, and I think Greg, we've had this conversation a lot, but I've softened on my stance as far as like, if you like either other trilogy other than the originals, then you don't know what you're talking about, because everybody experiences things differently. And you guys are younger, so this is like maybe speaks to your generation a little bit more. But for me, I was 14 whenever The Phantom Menace came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, at the time, everybody loved that shit. Like, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Everybody loved that shit. It wasn't until years later that people were like, oh, that wasn't very good. And I kind of think, and now the prequels are having like this almost kind of like renaissance where people are looking at them through rose-colored glasses, and I think part of it's the nostalgia factor, but I do think that there's decent movies in there. And like, I really like The Force Awakens. I loved Rogue One. Solo was better than I expected it to be.
That's true. But
The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker. Like, I feel physical pain when I watch The Rise of Skywalker.
Really? I love that one.
Yeah, that's the one that I can tolerate The Last Jedi, but The Rise of Skywalker, for me, especially when I saw it in theaters, I was just like, what are they doing, man?
I
think the biggest problem was the director shifts. It should have just been Abrams the whole time.
That's true.
Not like split it up, because it was almost like one hand didn't know what the other one was doing for parts 2 and 3.
But that is true.
That's just my take.
And it kind of ruined it, like the momentum they had going on, you know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I mean, we were talking about this at the very beginning. I will say that my favorite Star Wars movie, and I was talking about this, I was like, the prequels are never good, you know? And of course you said that Empire Strikes Back is the best movie possibly of all time, right? My favorite Star Wars movie is probably Attack of the Clones. Because I was like, the perfect age to go watch it in the theaters. And it was like this is amazing. This is amazing when I was a kid, and I'm just living off of that till now. You know?
Yeah. Nostalgia is a big thing. Where it's like, you, no matter where you have that, like when you first saw something, it means something more.
Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah. Objectively terrible movie, but I love it. You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, guys.
That was fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining us like that. Appreciate it. For the audience, we'll talk to you. See you next week on YouTube and anywhere else. We'll go get back in. Round two starting. Some bangers. So, see you guys next week. Peace out.
We'll see y'all next week. Thank y'all for coming by.